athletes become still. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us to meet with you as a group, as a family. Lord, we think of those that don't have that privilege at the moment because of the circumstances that they live under or that they don't care. Lord, help us all that we, in whatever small way, can help them to meet you and to grow with you, to grow into a relationship with you that it seems is non-existent to a huge part of the people on earth at this very moment. Lord, be with us and help us to bring this message clear this morning. Doesn't matter who is talking at that moment, but that everything that we say is true from your word. Amen.
Amen.
John, last week, you gave me an earful on our cross in front of the church that he discovered, definitely not when he cleaned the garden, but he saw it in some way or other because I couldn't find it. So we got the cross out, and after the experience that I've had this week, it's high time. It's a sad story, actually. During the week, I think it was on Thursday morning, don't ask me how, but me and two of the farm workers start talking about this coming weekend, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection and going up to his Father again. And it suddenly struck me that the message for them stopped where Jesus died for our sins. Nothing further. And it took me about a quarter of an hour to explain to them, but it doesn't end there. It's a whole new story that starts from that very moment. And then John's cross got clean on the Friday morning. And last night we had a marriage on the farm, a wedding. Sorry, lovey. A wedding on the farm. And again, the guy that had to look after the cars during this, all the festivities, he started talking. And all three of these people, I thought, knew the Bible. Two of them are going all over the place, preaching everywhere whenever they get a chance, and they've missed it all. And here we stand in just before next weekend, it's again commemorate the whole Jesus' death, what he did for us. It makes me think of the film Fiddler on the Roof. Can you remember it? At one stage, the husband said, a musical. And he sang to his wife and he asked her, "Do you love me?" And she looked at him and she said, "Well, for I can't remember how many years, let's say 25 years or 35 years, can't remember." She said, "I've been cleaning your clothes. I've been preparing food for you. I've shared your bed. I've given you four or whatever children." And she stopped there. She said, "I suppose I love you." That song keeps running in my head. from time to time. And that is how I see Jesus. Always there, always looking after us, and we don't even know it. How many of the people in the street stop where Jesus died for our sins? Nothing after that. I'm ill prepared for this morning's message. But I've started a new one. Because I thought, how many of us, how long ago have we read through the whole sequence of events? Starting from when the Jews came out of Egypt, from there on to where Jesus died for us and was resurrected. How long ago have we run through the whole sequence of events? I can't remember. I think we got stuck where Jesus died for our sins. Now and then you sort of touch on the rest of it, but there's never a... I can't remember when last we've done through. So I thought, okay, I'm going to give you a child's lesson this morning. And as it is communion this morning, I think it's a good thing. I've had help from that, chat something. So, if you pick up on a mistake, please feel free to speak up. Because if it's good, I'm going to say. If it's bad, it's him. Communion, Luke 22, verse 19 to 20. We read it every time we have communion. So let's read it again this morning. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Remember that last sentence. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Now I wrote down here, bread of life. Jesus identifies himself as the true bread of life that satisfies spiritual hunger permanently. Keep all those things in mind as we go on. Bread of life, word of God. Matthew 4 verse 4 states, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." It all sort of gives us a picture. Okay, then we can... Have you got it? 4x4, we've had that one. Now, the new covenant. We're going to look at the new covenant as well as the old one. And see where it came from and how it was put together. The old covenant, Jeremiah 31, from where to where? 33. Oh, this Bible is getting smaller and smaller, the written things. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." This was, Jeremiah was years before Jesus. So they knew about the coming of Jesus. And keep in mind, and when it happened, they didn't like it. But it was years before. "It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant." Because they broke my covenant. "Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Remember that. That's the new covenant. Oof, here's the others. Now the old covenant, that was made when Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments. And afterwards, how should I put it in nice English? They had to seal the covenant. And Moses took the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, listen carefully, we will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Now, the bitter part. And listen to that also very carefully, because that explains, I think, why the people couldn't keep up. Because we must remember they came out of Egypt after living with the Egyptians for 430 years, I think, if I remember correctly. It's a long time. So you can understand why they took on all the mannerisms of the Egyptians. All the afgode. That was a problem, a big problem. And that's why when they came out of Egypt, the first thing they made, when Moses took too long to write down the Ten Commandments, was to make a golden calf. And we've been doing for the past few weeks. And it goes like this. One after, and it goes well, and after 20, 30, 40 years, everybody is sinning again, and that's the way that it went. I think there were 15 of them. And it goes on and on and on. Went well, bad, well, bad. And that isn't that how we are at the moment in this world as well? Now we know God. In 20 years, no, we don't know Him anymore. And then something happens, and it starts all over again. I'm so sorry for God, honestly. I can't believe that He keep on with mankind on this earth the way that we treat Him. Luckily, I'm not God. Otherwise, we would have been wiped out. He did it once, twice. You can't blame Him, can you? Anyway, let's see. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. That's God. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. God told Moses to give that message to them. But you've got it. Verse 5. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, if you obey me fully, with all respect, God should have known better. I really think He overestimated us completely. I went to this help to see the difference, to look at the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. Because it was obvious that we couldn't keep or stay true to the old covenant. It was impossible. Because of our sinful nature, it's out of the question. Now here they give the main features of the two covenants. I'm going to first read the one of the old covenant, and then we can look at the new covenant. The old covenant was given through Moses, and that covenant was based on law. We had the Ten Commandments, and then the Mosaic laws. There was no end to it. The people just, I would run away, definitely. If you gave me those pages and pages of rules that I have to live, tata, goodbye. It's totally out. Why Moses had to put in his fingers in the pie as well, I don't know. Okay, and the old covenant was centered on the Ten Commandments. Now, external feature was written on stone tablets. Remember that one, that's also very important. Conditional, blessings for obedience, consequences for disobedience. Remember that as well. Because God essentially said, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my people. And we can't. So the chance that we would ever have been able to be people of God under the old covenant was impossible. And the old covenant was sealed with the blood of sacrifices, sealed with animal blood. And each year they had to go back to the temple and ask for forgiveness over and over and over again. Now the main features of the new covenant, it was eternal, it was inside. I will write it on their hearts. That is what God said. I will write it on their hearts. In other words, it's a changing. And then he said, God said, I will be their God. The whole thought of the new covenant was that it was transformed. Hearts changed, not just behavior. That to me is so important. Because you can change your behavior and not be a true believer. You can do that. But when it's written on your heart and in your mind, I believe, everything changes. Because it comes from inside your, you change. Not in what you like or what you do. If when you're a gardener, you're a gardener. God doesn't change that. But he changes what is in here and in here. The way we think. The way we do things. That is what God changes by the new covenant. So that's the big difference between the two. Oof. And forgiving. God says, I will remember their sin no more. I will forgive them, and I will remember their sin no more. Okay, then there's the whole story of sincerity, that you must see God with his sincerity and the whole changing sequence begins until the day we die. There's one guy on the farm, I asked him one day, that's years ago, and I asked him, when are we going to change? When are we going to get it right with God? He looked at me and he said, the day before we die. The sanctification process never stops. But at least now we have a chance. And all because God cares. Jesus cares. Okay, the old covenant was sealed with animal blood. The new covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus. As Jesus said, let's look at a simple way to see the difference between the two. The old covenant is a law written on stone. The new covenant, law written on our heart. Which one is going to last longer? All of us has that blueprint, I believe, in us. When it's written on our hearts. But it must be, what do you call it nowadays? Activated. If it's not activated, it's of no use. But it's there. And it's activated by the Holy Spirit. Right, old covenant, external obedience. You get people that live according to the Ten Commandments. I think some of them are about 60% effective. But I don't think we can get nearer to it than that. And God's way, the new covenant's way, is internal transformation that we just talked about. Then repeated sacrifices. Jesus was one perfect sacrifice. And then he said, and now you must help me, because this is one that I don't understand. Okay, the old covenant was do this and live. Right? If you don't obey, you won't live forever. Now, and then he said about the new covenant, live, and you will do this. In other words, you will obey me. I don't understand that one. Is there some of you, anyone that can help me there? Because I changed it and I said, love God, Jesus, and you will do this. Because you will be transformed. Because you care and you want to be acceptable in the kingdom. Does that sound better? I think so. And then the guy said, right at the end, he said, the old covenant showed us what is right, according to the Ten Commandments. Now we must understand God had a big problem. Here comes this bunch of people who knows about nothing. I think at that stage there might be a small center group that were still believers and following God. But I think if you look at the whole bunch, and there was quite a lot of them now. And that was the problem that God had before him. To first get these people sort of in shape before he could go further with them. And what is going on with us at the moment? Aren't we faced with the same problem? If we look what goes on in the street, last night at 2 o'clock, I delivered the people that worked in the venue to their homes in Porkytown and on the other side as well. Small children, 5-6 years old, 2 o'clock in the morning, walking along the roads. I mean, look. If that is what you can see, what don't we see behind the closed doors? Where are we? Where is God's message? And that is where John comes in. Christopher is also one that takes the message out, but we should do that ourselves. Whenever the opportunity arises, and if you are willing to spread the message, God will give you those times that you can do it. I promise you. And in the end, you won't be able to do any other work. You'll find out soon enough. After the old covenant showed us what is right, the new covenant gives us the power to love what is right. Because we won't change if we don't like or love what we are busy with. That's the way I see it. And how do we love it? To get to know God better. To be honest and sincere in following Christ in everything that He taught us when He was here. It's not only His commandments, everything else that He taught us. Respect for each other, love each other, all those things. Sermon on the Mount and all those other stories that He told. Look at it and look around us. I think after my experience with the three people on my farm, I wondered, we've been talking about God, about Jesus, for how many years now on the farm, and still they walk around with those ideas. That is a shortcoming for them. How much joy is there in having an relationship with somebody that you believe is just waiting for you to do something wrong so that he can hit you with a stick? I mean, what joy is there? But with the coming of Jesus, that changes. He now wants you to be in a relationship with Him where He can teach you, where you can ask Him, where you can talk to Him. Luckily for that separation that Jesus also gave us, that we can talk straight to Him, straight to His Father. There's so many things that He changed. And if it wasn't for that, what joy would there have been in our lives? I don't want to live under a dictator. And I don't think that is what God wants us to believe of Him. And it's our work to change that perspective amongst the people. Because it's a terrible thing to see how they shy away from opening up towards God just because of that. And there are people going around, all they can talk about is the old Ten Commandments covenant. Their whole relationship with God all stops there. There's never been a moving on. And I ask you really, if you ever get a chance to change that, do it. Because those people can go, and you don't have to spend half a day with one person. There's so many times that we can just, by saying two sentences or whatever, that you have that chance that God gave you, and we must use that opportunity. We're not all Christophers, but we can do our bit. And the less difficult it is, or less simple, the more simple the language we talk in, I think the people will understand it better. But don't let those opportunities. Look what we have. What we have gained from the relationship that we have, or I hope that we all have. We can't keep that away from others. Never.